Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Welcome to week six in being more productive. Now, last time we talked, I talked to you that there are four different kinds of tasks that I find personally on my to-do list. There are ideas that I get, repetitive, easily distractible tasks that I do that are mostly the household tasks, and then focused work, which is something that I always used to defer and keep writing from one to-do list to the next and rarely got done. But once I started carving out time for that focused work, I started to see a lot of progress in my marriage, my family, my house, and my business. And then the fourth kind of task, which I guess it really isn't a task, but I definitely need to find time for it in my schedule, is thinking time. I need a lot of thinking time, and I need to plan it into my schedule. Well, you may have been a little bit frustrated at the end of the last session, because while maybe you were able to start task stacking those repetitive daily tasks and getting more done, you may also have been like, great, now she told me I need focus time, 30 minutes to 4 hours a day. Like, are you kidding me? I don't even go to the bathroom alone. I have little kids, and I'm lucky that I get a shower every day. Where am I going to find 30 minutes to 4 hours for focused work? And the podcast today is all about, where do you find that time? I am going to give you 10 things that I have done in the last 5 years that have helped me, and some of them have not helped me, get more focused time. And just pick one of these. Pick one, that's how I did it. Like, I pick one, I work on that for 6 to 12 weeks, and then I add another one. Slow incremental change sticks. It helps you going forward. Like, when you make these changes slowly over time, it's not so jarring to your system and your family. And you slowly go from a less productive person to a more productive person, and you're able to see what works. Like, if you make 3 or 4 changes all at once, you may become more productive, but you also might get cranky, and you don't know which of those 4 things you need to unchange in order to not be cranky, but still be productive. So, number one is what you usually hear. If you need to have more time, get rid of your TV watching. I know. So there was a period of time where I basically didn't watch any TV. Like, there were a couple months where I didn't watch any TV at all. And then there was probably another 6 months where I only watched my favorite shows, which were The Good Wife, Madam Secretary, we like Blue Bloods. And so I would watch those shows. So I would maybe watch a couple hours of TV a week, like a 30-minute show or, you know, 40 minutes with TiVo for an hour-long show, maybe 3 or 4 times a week. And I did that for a whole year where I did not watch a lot of TV. Currently, I think I watch a lot of TV. So around 8:30 at night, I will turn on the TV. We do have a TV in our bedroom, and currently I'm watching Grey's Anatomy. I never watched Grey's Anatomy. I have it on Netflix, and I'm in the middle of season 3, I think. I didn't realize the show was still going on. Like, there are 13 seasons. Holy cow. I'm going to be watching this for a long time. But I'll do that. I'll find a show that has like 5, 6, 8, 9 seasons, and I'll watch it. I remember the first time I did this, I went back and I watched The West Wing, which I watched as it was produced. But I watched the entire 4 seasons again, 4 or 8 seasons, I can't remember. When we first got Netflix, I would watch that at night. So it's on in my TV, I'm listening, I'm doing laundry, getting ready for bed, you know, checking with the kids, and I usually have that on for about 90 minutes. The second thing that I've done to be more productive, and this is the most recent change I've made, is I changed my phone settings for all of my social media apps. So for a while, especially, you know, how I communicate with you, other than you listening to me through the podcast, is probably through Facebook. Like, you've probably ended up on the Facebook page or in the Facebook group, messaged me, asked me a question, left a comment. I tried to reply to all that, although I'm not able to anymore. There's just too much. But I do communicate that way, and then also through email. So when emails come in, I try to reply within 24 hours, 48 at the longest. And so in order to keep up that pace as my business has grown, I started using my phone a lot. So I dropped the kids off at school, I would check my phone. I would be waiting for the kids, I would check my phone. We were making dinner, I would check my phone. And I was checking my phone all of the time. A couple things I noticed about checking my phone so often was, one, I was definitely addicted to my phone. I'm still addicted to my phone, just less so. It's a lesser addiction now. So I was definitely addicted to my phone. But the other thing I noticed was that if I would glance at my phone and I would see that little red circle on my email or my Facebook or even Twitter, even though I don't do Twitter very well, if I would see that little number there, I'd be like, oh, I gotta check that. And what's even worse is I would have Facebook messages ding on my phone. So it was like somebody was sending me a text message, even though they were sending it to me through Facebook Messenger. So the first thing I did was I turned off all of the dings for email and Facebook. So the little red number would still end up being there, but the phone never went ding. It would only go ding if I got a real text message, usually from my kids or my husband. That helped because then if I looked at the phone, I was not always purposely, but more purposely looking at the phone. It wasn't like I was in the middle of recording a podcast and the phone went ding and I stopped the podcast to go see who had messaged me. So I was a little bit more in control of when I was using my social media when I took away the dings. Then I realized that I kind of became obsessed with glancing at the phone to see if there was a little red circle, because if there was a little red circle, then that meant somebody had contacted me. And at this point, if I had the little red circle on there, like the little red circle wouldn't go away. You guys are in the Facebook group, you know, people are commenting and liking, like the little red circle comes up even if you click like on something. So commenting, liking, posting, I get a little red circle for all of those. So the little red circle would never go away. It's kind of like trying to get to inbox zero. I don't try to get to inbox zero except a couple of times a month. So usually one or two Saturdays a month, I just plow through that inbox. And if anything's still left in there, I make a decision, yes, no, or maybe, and I do it like and get to inbox zero. But I don't achieve inbox zero every day. It's usually 20 or less. I'm comfortable if there's 20 or less in my email that needs to be done. The other thing I noticed when I was checking it so often, I'm going really in depth to this because I think this is how everybody is using social media and nobody really thinks about it. So for me personally, I always want to like or comment if you put something on my Facebook page or in the Facebook group. I'm going to read it for sure and I want to like or comment. And from the phone, I could definitely hit like, that's no big deal. And I can usually see the notifications that come in, but it is way easier for me to do social media from my computer because often many of you are asking me for, do you have a post about XYZ? Well, I can do that from my phone, but it takes a lot more steps and a lot more screens than if I do it from my computer because I could just have the blog screen open and copy and paste links much faster. Also, if you notice, like maybe there are 10 to 12 discussions that go on in the Facebook group each day, but a lot of people comment and like. So if I check my Facebook group, let's say in the morning and at night, which is my ideal, although you can tell I check it a lot more than that. If I'm really working hard, I don't. But so you can see my productive days and not productive days. But if I check it from 8 to 9 in the morning and then again from like 7 to 9 in the evening, which should be my goal, then when I get in there, I can comment on all the people who have commented on that poster, like all those people at the same time, as opposed to every hour going in and liking a couple more people on the same posts and rereading that post all the time. There's no new information there, so it should all be done at once. Also, sometimes when I check Facebook from my phone, I want to give a lengthier reply, or I really want to craft a message, especially for email. Like if I check email from my phone, I think, oh, I want to add this link. I want to tell them about this. I want to connect them to that. I very rarely just dash off a yes. Like I need to be less wordy, I guess. If I could sit down and spend an hour doing email and Facebook, even though granted it's 2 hours a day, I'm much more efficient and productive with my time versus the 3 to 4 hours I would spend constantly checking it on my phone. Because if I can't reply on my phone, but I've checked on my phone, then that message in Facebook or that email that I'm trying to reply to is swirling around in my brain until 7 o'clock at night when I could sit down at the computer and really comprise a good answer. One other time I noticed this was really, really affecting me was when I was doing more of the in-home organization. I don't check my phone at all when I'm working with a client, as you would expect. Like, you don't want your professional organizer on Facebook, right? So I would be done with my professional organizing jobs and I would check and there'd be all kinds of messages and, you know, emails and notifications. And so I would drive away from the client's house and I would check all of those on the phone just to see what had come in while I was working. Well, I didn't have the time to reply to all those because I had to go get my kids and do dinner and homework and all the stuff that you guys do every day. So I'm really, this is what I'm working on. This is really a slow burn here, people. So I've taken off the dings, I've taken off the little red circle, and now I'm slowly trying to make myself only check Facebook in the morning and in the evening when I'm actually on my computer. And I would say I'm successful 2 to 3 days a week, which is really pretty good. I'm really, really successful on Sundays. Like, I listen to a bunch of podcasts on Sundays, but if you've noticed, I'm hardly ever commenting on anything in the Facebook post from Saturday night all the way through Sunday night. I usually pop in there once, but I'm really trying to spend that time with Greg and the kids and on the house and not even be in the Facebook groups. Okay, that was a long one, but that was number two. How much time is your social media taking? I'm not saying cut it out altogether. I'm still spending over 2 hours a day just on Facebook. So I'm clearly spending a lot of time on Facebook, but does it need to be 4 hours? I don't think it needs to be 4 hours. I think that's too much time. You can let me know what you think about that. So I guess that was two and three together. Number two was, how much time do you spend on social media? Number three was, what is dinging on your phone, your phone apps? Like, if it really hit me one day when I was listening to some presentation somewhere and they were talking about a phone making a bunch of noise. And they said, how important do you think you really are? Like, if you are ever with the CEO or the president of the United States, like, they are present with whoever they're with. There's never a buzzer or a bing going off. Like, there's nothing more important for the president of the United States than whoever he is talking to at that time. Like, if there's a nuclear bomb goes off, there's somebody that taps him on the shoulder and says, hey, we got to go, you know, like, got to get in the bunker. But other than that, they're present with whoever they're with. So why would I, you know, this podcaster blogger person, be so important that my phone has to bing in the middle of my kid telling me about their story that day? And the way that hit me when I heard that story, I thought, oh, yeah, like, social media is a huge blessing for my business, but it shouldn't run our family's life. So there's a little anecdote for you. Okay, this is another one. I heard this on a podcast, and I've listened to the podcast episode twice because I've heard the story twice, but I still can't remember where it's from. Basically, there was this lady who said that she wanted to write a book. And so whoever it was that the podcast was on, I'm sorry, I'm so bad at these details. They said to her, you know, well, you should write your book during the day while your kids are at school. And she said, well, I never have enough time. So they had her describe what she was doing. And what she was doing was she would drop the kids off at school and then she would come home and she would do the dishes and she'd vacuum the house and she'd do the laundry and she would straighten up. And then if she had time, she would work 1 or 2 hours on her book. And the person said, well, it seems to me that cleaning your house is your top priority. And she goes, oh, no, writing the book is my top priority. And they said, well, no, because your actions say that cleaning your house is your top priority. Again, this is another one that hit me because while I don't do a huge amount of cleaning and cooking, I was coming home after taking the kids to school and spending about an hour starting laundry, doing dishes, cleaning up the kitchen. And I realized that, yeah, I would love it to be clean, but I would love to grow my business more. So now I walk in and I give myself 10 minutes max. So 10 minutes max to clean off the counters, just put the dirty dishes in the sink, not even necessarily do them, but throw away the trash. If laundry needs to be switched, go ahead and switch it and be upstairs working within 10 minutes. That is my goal. Because left to my own devices, I'll wander around this house for 90 minutes. So take whatever you're doing. Look at when you're doing those repetitive tasks. And what I realized was I could easily do the dishes, straighten the house, and do the laundry with my kids and my husband at night, but I couldn't do focused work at night because my kids and my husband are here. So I had to move my focused work to the morning. So along the lines with that, number four would be try to smush those household tasks into smaller time chunks. So it used to take me an hour to clean up the kitchen, do the dishes, change the laundry, let the dog out, all that. I do all that now in 10 minutes or less. And I'm constantly saying to myself, you know, really quick, run through the house, pick up the stuff that you need. You only have 10 minutes. You only have 10 minutes. And when you only have 10 minutes, it does two things. Number one, you prioritize what you spend that 10 minutes on. And I'll be honest, some days I spend 15 or 20. I say, no, Lisa, I'm giving myself 20 today because I really want to get 3 loads of laundry done, or whatever reason. You can always override yourself. But it really makes you focus on, okay, if I only have 10 minutes, these are the 3 tasks I'm going to do. But if I have an hour, it would be 5 tasks. And it's okay to let those two wait until another time. Number 6 is my favorite day. It is to skip household tasks entirely one day. Like one day a week, you're not even going to do the dishes or the straightening or the laundry or anything. Like, you are just going to pedal to the metal, work on whatever your focused work is. So maybe for you, that's Wednesdays. And you drop the kids off on the bus and you go, okay, I'm going to walk in, sit down at that computer and work at that computer until the kids get off the bus in the evening. Or for me, it's Saturday. So if you're working outside of the house and you don't have that opportunity to do focused work during the work week, then for me, that's actually how I use Saturdays. Because I do so much driving and kid-related stuff during the week that even working on Saturdays, I only work 30 hours a week. That's just, there's just no more hours. I don't know how to tell you. I can't find any more hours. So on Saturday, I don't do any dishes, any cleaning, any cooking, anything. I get up, spend a little bit of time with my husband, work for 4 to 6 hours solid, take a shower and go out to dinner with my husband. Like, that's what I do. We go out to dinner, or we'll eat at home, but we'll watch a movie and sit out back. So I do 6 solid hours of work on Saturday and I don't touch a dish. When I walk down Sunday morning, because sometimes I like never leave my bedroom because that's where I work and I just love it up here. And my husband will even bring dinner up to me. I come down Sunday, I'm like, wow, it looks like a bomb went off in here. But I don't care because Saturday is the one day, and our whole family knows this. It's the one day that everybody gets entirely to themselves. My daughter goes and does a bunch of stuff with this girl that comes over. Our son, I think, plays video games the entire day and eats fast food all day long. My husband takes the dog for a walk, does the grocery shopping, goes and sees his mom, you know, does whatever he wants to do in the yard, and I work. Because that's what I love to do. So Saturdays is our day to do whatever we want. And that's the one day that I could say, okay, this is the day that I'm going to do whatever big chunk of focused work. Even though the family's home, I tend to get a lot of great work done on Saturday. So number 7 worked really well when I was in my 20s and 30s and does not work at all in my 40s. So this may be a phase of life thing. But it's to get up early or to stay up late. So when my kids were really little, like babies, and I was working from home, I would get them to bed, and my husband always did bath time at night. So he went and did bath time. I cleaned up the kitchen. They would be in bed by 7:30 or 8, and then I would work from 8 to midnight in the kitchen with all the lights on. If my husband wanted to go to bed, he could, or he would hang out with me downstairs. I watch TV. We have a TV in our kitchen, too. We have TVs everywhere. We like TVs. But I have this gorgeous kitchen with lots and lots of counters. And so I would lay out scrapbooking projects, or I would work on presentations. At that time, I was selling scrapbooking supplies. So I would work on orders. I would bag up orders. I would do all kinds of stuff where the little kids couldn't get into what I was doing. And I knew I wouldn't be interrupted because it was the evening. Then around, I've tried the getting up early thing. And I am a morning person. But it doesn't work for me. And this is something I think is missed on all those podcasts and books where they say, get up at 5 a.m. It doesn't matter. Whenever I would decide I was going to start being the get up early person, because I can, I'm a morning person, inevitably my children would get up early. It's like they have a sixth sense. Oh, it's 5 a.m., but I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. because mom must be up. I could just have my eyes open in my bed and not even have made any noise. And Abby would be like, hi, because she's a morning person too. So that didn't work for me for that reason. The other reason it didn't work for me is my kids now are in high school. So for the last couple of years, I have to get up at 5:30 to wake up my son. And my kids need prodding. I don't know about yours, but get up. Okay, now get in the shower. All right, get out of the shower. How about if we get dressed? Let's get eating your breakfast. Like every 5 to 10 minutes, I'm like, let's move this program along. And if I don't do that, we're late for school. So I haven't found a solution for that. So if I were to spend that time on focused work, working, I would get 7 minutes of focused work before I'd have to go prod the kids along. And I just can't get up at like 4 in the morning and work. Like I'm a morning person, but I'm not a middle of the night person. So that doesn't work for me. So what I do is I prod the kids all morning, take them to school, come home. 8 o'clock is working early for me. So I say that because, you know, you hear these ideas of like, don't watch any TV or get up early and you go, oh my gosh, that may work for some people, but for other people, it's completely unrealistic. All right, number 8, not a new concept you're going to hear from me, is to hire help. And then use the time you save for whatever project you have. So one of the ways that I really maximize my time is we have somebody clean our house. It takes her 3 hours to do what would take me 6 hours to do, and she does a better job than I do of cleaning our house. That 6 hours she saves me, even though it only takes her 3 hours, is time that I can then spend on focused work in my business because I'm not doing so much household work. Same thing, you've heard the podcast about the 10 things you can outsource, any of those things you outsource. Outsourcing cooking to my husband saved me 4 hours a week. So in the beginning, when I couldn't get more time, I just took some of the household tasks I was doing and I outsourced them to my husband and to this cleaning lady. So now 7 of the hours that I'm able to work during the week are because I'm not doing household related tasks. So look at those repetitive, easily distractible tasks that are on your list. And can you outsource any of them? And with that time, could you work on your focused work? Especially if your focused work is going to produce an income, then look at the trade-off. Like, okay, if I outsource house cleaning for X amount of dollars, could I earn 2X that amount of dollars if I worked on my focused work? Number 9 is to trade a day with a spouse or do your tasks on a date. So here's an idea. If, like, for example, it was just Labor Day. So Greg said, we're going to work on the yard Labor Day weekend. So that was 2 days that he wanted us to work in the yard. So we did our focused work based on his direction. And what I didn't do was I didn't work on Monday. And I did less of the household regular related tasks because we were doing big outside related tasks. You can also, another thing I did when I was in my 20s is you can trade a day with a friend. So you take her kids on Tuesday, she takes your kids on Wednesday, and then that gives you a full day of focused work. And number 10, which is the one that I want you to remember, which is why I put it at the end, is to work faster and accept that done is better than perfection. So when you look at that big to-do list, number 1, your to-do list is never going to be done. I have tried, but if you figure out how, let me know. But I have actively tried to get a to-do list done. And what happens is I just come up with more ideas and make more of a to-do list. So your to-do list is never going to be completely finished. But you can start plowing through those tasks faster and make more impact if you do less of the repetitive tasks and more of the focused work tasks focused on a goal. Something that you really, really want to get done. Like I said, 100 days from now, do you want your house to be organized? Great, then that's your goal. We're gonna put 30 minutes a day into the 100-day challenge. At the end of that 100 days, your house is going to be more organized. Or you can just let these everyday repetitive tasks eat up all of your time, and 100 days from now, all of those repetitive tasks are still gonna be on the list and your house is not gonna be organized. With that said, sometimes there just is no extra time. There just is no extra time. And I 100% agree with that. I do not want to give you guilt. If you are in the middle of a transition time, just put all this in your little memory bank and eventually you'll be in a good time of life like I am right now where you have a lot of extra time. I have a lot of extra time and time that I could focus on my work because I have done all of these things except the getting up early, staying up late part. You know, I've relegated when I'm going to watch TV. I have taken control of my phone and my social media. I have limited the amount of time I'm spending straightening up in the morning. I've smushed all of my household tasks together as much as I can. I take one day a week where I don't do any household tasks. I don't get up early or stay up late, and I even take naps sometimes. So sleep, I definitely do. I've hired out multiple things in my business, and I do trade days and with people and Greg on occasion in order to get more done. And I try to work faster all the time. All these repetitive tasks aren't going anywhere. So if you're trying to perfectly do your laundry every week and driving yourself crazy because the towels are not perfectly folded, what is that costing you? Like, if you, for example, this saves me so much time. This was brilliant. Okay, I used to have a towel bar in the kids' bathroom. But the problem is, multiple problems. I know I've already said this about kids' towels. Multiple problems. I have a boy and a girl, and they're teenagers. I don't even think I need to say anything after that. I used to have color-coded towels, two pink and two blue, and you were supposed to keep track of your towel and use it more than once. What a nightmare. Like, I think I did that like a week. And they both have ADHD. Like, this is never happening. So then you have kids in the bathroom with no towel, and he took my towel, and just not worth it at all. We now have 10 cream towels, so they're all exactly the same color. And then I sledgehammered off and took off the towel bar, and I put up a hooks thing like you would have in your back hallway where you hang up coats. I put up one of those hook things that will hold four towels. And then I went command hook crazy, and I hung up two command hooks on the back of the door and another command hook on the wall. So I wash the kids' towels. I think I do 3 or 4 loads a week because they're teenagers now, because it went from middle schoolers where it would be a week and you're like begging them to take a shower to high schoolers who take 2+ showers a day. And they use multiple towels when they take their showers. None of these battles I want to fight. So I just take all of their towels down. I wash them. I dry them. I carry them up unfolded and I hang them up on hooks. That has got to save me at least, I would say, 10 minutes per load of towels I do. They don't even put them in the hamper, people. I literally did it just this morning. I walk in the bathroom and pick up towels off the floor. I walk in their bedrooms and pick up towels off the floor. I walk them straight down, put them in the washing machine, put them in the dryer, take them out of the dryer, walk right into the bathroom, and I hang them up on the hooks. Now, this weekend, I did all the towels, so I had them all done, and I only have, how many hooks do I have? 7 hooks, and I have 11 towels, I think. So I had 4 towels. I started to fold them, and I realized I really did not want to take the time for this. Wait till you hear this. I wadded them up into a ball and shoved them in the linen closet like that, because I thought, you know what? 2 days from now, we're going to need these. Like, who cares if they're never folded? No kidding. Last night, I went into the linen closet, pulled out the wad of 4 towels, hung them up on the hooks so that they had towels today, and took all the dirty ones downstairs and started that process all over again. Thinking about your repetitive household tasks and thinking about what are the things that you're putting way too much time and perfection into, and what is the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal is, I do not see my teenage children naked, and they always have a towel when they're in the bathroom. Those are my only goals. And so I know that, because those are my goals, they go through a bazillion million towels. So we got a lot of towels, we put up extra hooks, and every 2 days, I make sure I'm running a load of towels so that there are always towels clean and always towels in the laundry room. I just don't spend a lot of time on it. So what is it that, if you really look at, oh wow, it is really taking me a long time to, I don't know, dust the fans or vacuum the house. Could you vacuum one less time per month? Could you dust the fans half as often? Like, how clean do they really have to be? Unless your kid has dust allergies, then dust away. Look at how often you're doing these tasks. For example, here's another great one. I am in charge of all the paper products, buying all the paper products, medicine, health and beauty, and like staples in our house. My husband does the grocery shopping every single week for fresh fruits, vegetables, meats, whatever we're having to eat, and all of the fun snacks come from Dad. I am the, you know, $200-$300 grocery shopping trip where you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we spend money on all those feminine related products that we need every single month. So I used to do that grocery shopping every other week, and then I went to once a month, and this year I'm doing it every 6 weeks. So I've lumped it into the day that I get my haircut. So I get my haircut every 6 weeks, and I've decided my daughter gets her eyebrows waxed every 6 weeks, so I could just put that right on the list as well. And that day is just getting blocked out in my schedule for household health and beauty, which means that if I'm getting my hair done that day, which takes like 3 hours for whatever reason, it takes forever, then I'm also going to do my Costco run that day. I'm also going to go to Meijer and spend a ridiculous amount of money on paper products and health and beauty. And the day before that, I'm going to double check my kids. Now that they're teenagers, they have their own shampoo, soap, shave gel, their own medicines, vitamins, razors, deodorant, gum that they like all these staple things, making one giant list and spending another 2-3 hours shopping, getting all that stuff, bringing it home, disseminating everywhere it needs to go. Because I do that every 6 weeks now, yes, it's a bigger bill at one time, but I used to go every 2 weeks. And so now I've saved 2 days where I would do that, that I can use for something else. So what are things like that, those repetitive tasks that you have that you could push out a little longer? I know I used to do some things every 7 days, and I can't remember what they were now, but now I moved them to 3 times a month. So every 10 days I would do, I can't remember what it was, but it was like 7 years ago. I made this, sorry, that's Hunter. 7 years ago, I made this revolution that if I did whatever task it was 3 times a month instead of 4, that would save me 1 whole day. So just think about things that way. Like, think outside of the box. Do you really have to do everything you do every week, every week? Could some of those be every other week? Could somebody else do them? Or better yet, could they not be done at all? Finding extra time is also about just getting rid of things, like getting rid of things off of your list. All right, this podcast has been long enough. And clearly, Hunter needs to go out for some reason. There must be a cat out there or something. Sorry, he does not obey my podcast recording sign as well as the other family members do. So now we know the 4 kinds of tasks from the last podcast. This one is all about what are the things that you could stop doing, or where could you find that 30 minutes to 4 hours a day to work on your focused work? All right, get out there and get it done, and I'll be with you next week.